episode 306. I'm your host, Hector. Mind Grenade is a pop culture-based show that is into TV, movies, music, comics, and a whole lot more. I wanted to thank everyone for tuning in, for listening. Really appreciate that here at Mind Grenade Studios. So this is going to be a short episode. Just wanted to put something out this week between our Obi-Wan coverage. But I've got a guest. I think I introduced her as Mom last episode. I don't know if I gave I gave her the proper. Eva is here with us today. So, hey, Mom.
Hi there.
Hey. So, yeah,
I'm
I'm
Mom.
Yeah, I don't remember if I just introduced you as Mom on the last time you were on. But I just wanted to make sure people know that your lovely name is Eva. And that was such a great episode. I enjoyed the last time you were on, and I thought I'd have you back on. I knew I wanted to have you back on here and there occasionally.
Oh, great.
So,
well, thank you. Thank you.
So this episode, I just wanted to kind of like update the listeners what I've been watching lately, or what I'm watching currently, what I'm reading currently, and then kind of update people on what I've watched in the theater so far and what grades I've given these movies, and then what movies I'm going to end up watching in the theater for the rest. It's the middle of the year, so I thought I'd kind of update people on what's going on. I wanted to ask you, Mom, something you've watched over the years, and I wanted to get an update on what your thoughts on the show This Is Us. I think, right, the final season was this past year, or, right?
It was.
Yeah.
That's
well,
correct.
Well, what do you like about that show? I know the cast, the ensemble is really something special.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Right, the ensemble is amazing. So, great cast. And so, I like that.
Let's see, so it's...
I like...
Yeah, it's Mandy Moore.
I like when they go back and forth. Yep, Mandy.
Yeah, because it's an ensemble thing and different storylines. It's a family, right? It's a family.
Yes.
And it's Milo Ventimiglia, Mandy Moore, Sterling K. Brown, which
Who's amazing.
Yeah, yeah, he's great. I love seeing him and stuff. Chrissy Metz. It's quite a big cast and a diverse cast. And I was having a conversation the other day with a friend at work about. Well, we were talking about something I'm going to bring up a little later. Is the there's a new Star Trek show called Star Trek: Strange New Worlds, and it's a really diverse cast, but it doesn't feel forced. Like it doesn't feel like, oh, we just I bring it up because This Is Us feels that way, where it's like it's a diverse cast of women and men and. You know, African Americans, across the board, diverse. It's not just all. It's not the show Friends, where it's just a group of white people. Not that there's anything wrong with that, but like I like when there's a diverse cast, but it doesn't feel like it's manufactured. You know, sometimes you see a show or a movie, and you're like. Oh, they're just checking off boxes on a, you know, it doesn't feel natural. This show, from someone who's not watched This Is Us, I watched it a little bit when I was at home with you guys. But, yeah, it seems very positive in its inclusion and diversity, which I appreciate. But, tell me more about This Is Us. And you've watched all of it, right? What is it, six seasons?
I didn't watch the first season, and that was basically because I travel a lot for work, so I kind of missed out on whatever. So I didn't watch the last season.
Okay.
But one of the things that I have completely admired about that show, which is something that you just touched, is the fact that it's not one of those shows where they check the boxes. Because if you look at the beginning of that show, the how Sterling became part of that family, you can take away from that first, from the first several episodes when they were having their babies and they are in the hospital delivering their child and they stumble upon this baby.
Yeah.
That, so it wasn't like you can say, like, you know, we could say, I guess, you know, oh, they have to check this box for that, check this box for that, check this. So you know,
yeah.
it was the way it was just laid out was, there was perfection.
Yeah.
In the storyline in the beginning of the show. So, you know, I feel sad that I couldn't see, the
final season. Yeah. I'm sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Eventually you'll get around to it there. Cause that's the thing. Yeah. That's the thing, with modern day technology that if somebody goes, oh, you have to watch Breaking Bad or you have to watch it. It's like, man, it's not going anywhere. I'll get to it when I get to it.
Exactly.
It's you know, that's, it's nice that we have that now where before streaming and all that, you just, mm-hmm. whenever the show was on, that's when you had an opportunity to watch it. You just didn't. Sterling K. Brown, handsome, African-American actor. He was in Black Panther. When we went to watch Black Panther, had you already been watching This Is Us and then recognized him? You're like, oh, that's the one actor. Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm. Okay. And he's come out with several other things.
Yeah, no, he's been in a bunch of stuff. Yeah, he was in the, People versus O.J. Simpson, American Crime Story. He's been in a bunch of high-profile, well-received mainstream stuff. Yeah, yeah. But for me, he just kind of came out of nowhere, and I was like, who's this charming actor with a sweet name, Sterling? Sterling K. Brown, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, and he's very flawless. He's very flawless in his roles. I mean, for some reason, he just it doesn't look like work.
No, no, yeah, he's effortless in his charm. Yeah. And then Mandy Moore. Mandy Moore is one of the bigger characters in this, right? Rebecca Pearson.
Oh yeah.
She, because I grew up with her. Like I remember her hitting the scene. I don't know if she was on a Disney thing or what it was. I think she's a pop star too or something growing up as a teenager. And then you kind of lump all those pop stars. You're like, oh, you know, they're just vapid pop stars. But then there's always one or two of them that actually kind of escape the trappings, I guess, and then become actual actors, you know. It's Justin Timberlake and there's a couple other ones, but yeah, Mandy Moore apparently. I mean, I'm sure she's she's kind of made a name for herself with this show, but amazing that the show you know,
Girl Next Door. Very relatable.
Yeah, yeah.
Very relatable. So.
Yeah. I wanted to bring up what I'm watching now. So, time restraints. You were bringing up that because of work, you haven't been able to watch the last season of This Is Us. I'm the most challenging thing as an adult for me right now in my life is time management. I think I do a really good job, but it is the most challenging thing about for me out of everything. My day to day is just parsing out the time for stuff. I do that with like how much TV I watch and how much internet I expose myself to. I only ever have three shows that I watch at any one time. So right now I'm watching three shows and, I don't binge, I'll watch an episode. On the weekends when I'm off, I'll watch the three episodes of the three shows I'm watching. And then I go week for week. And then when one show's done or the season's over, then I replace that show with another show. So it's only ever three shows. So right now I'm watching Obi-Wan Kenobi on Disney Plus. I'm watching Star Trek Strange New Worlds, which I just mentioned, which, You know this. I grew up watching Star Trek, classic Star Trek, Kirk and Spock with Dad.
Right.
I'd sit next to him as a five-year-old, six-year-old, watching Star Trek, old 60s shows with Dad. And then when I was a teenager, then there was Star Trek The Next Generation, and then that became my Star Trek. And then now there's all these new Star Trek shows. There's like five or six of them. And again, like I said, I need to be good with my time management, so I can't watch every show out there. So the one I'm watching right now is Strange New World, and it's excellent. I was wanting to share my Paramount Plus with you guys, but I don't know what their system is, if you can share the account or not, but we've had a difficult time. But I'm almost tempted to just buy Dad a subscription to Paramount Plus so he can watch it, because this show is so good. It's so good. And we were just talking about diversity in TV shows and the difference between when it seems pandering and when it seems natural. I can tell the difference. I mean, this show, it's gotten a little bit of a just a vocal minority online that's like, oh, it's so woke and this and that, which I do buck against the oversaturation of wokeness in our society and in culture and in entertainment. But like, to defend this show is essentially they're recreating what the Enterprise was before Kirk and Spock showed up in the old 60s show. So it's 10 years before Kirk and Spock. So in the old in the old 60s show, they had like a pilot episode for the original Star Trek, and it wasn't Kirk and Spock. It was Pike, and his second in command was a woman, and then Spock was in there too in the mix. So in the 60s, I guess the movie, I'm sorry, the Paramount or whoever, the studio, the TV studio was like, oh, we can't have a woman in charge as his second in command because people don't relate to that. And that was in the 60s. So then they changed it to Kirk and Spock and McCoy. And and you know this, like they had Uhura, which is the she's an African American in the 60s, and she was on screen a lot. So they've pretty much recreated that show for now with like modern technology and computer graphics and an excellent writing staff. And and what I love about this show too, aside from just being a great show, really well written and well cast, is that the diversity is baked into it already. They didn't have to change very much. They didn't have to like force a bunch of inclusion into this, because it was already built in from like the forward thinking of the people who made the original Star Trek show, where they had a woman in charge. And I appreciate that it doesn't feel forced, that the feminism is there and is part of it, but it doesn't feel like you're being knocked over the head with like, hey, feminism is important, you should know this. There's none of that. It's very matter of fact. Pike's first officer is a woman, and it's Rebecca Romijn. Rebecca Romijn. She's a revelation on this show, because she started out as a model, as like a supermodel. And then she got some she's stunning. But and even now at age 50, she's still like, it's incredible. Her acting, she like really is something else on this show. Like, she's showing that. We were just talking about Mandy Moore kind of having to move past her pop star origins to become a respected actress. I feel that Rebecca Romijn in this show is like is doing so well, and is a convincing and such a capable character that she's playing. There's a scene in one of the recent episodes where her captain, Captain Pike, like honestly tells her, it's like, you're one of the most capable people in Starfleet across the board. And I was like, yeah. And it And it comes off that way with her performance. So I'm watching that, and I'm really enjoying it. And like I said, I so want Dad to be watching it. So we'll have to figure something out there with our, because you guys are running on, we're sharing a Disney Plus account. You guys have right. Netflix. I think we might be sharing that. You guys just picked up Hulu, right?
Yeah. I think it's. Is it Hulu? Yeah.
Yeah, you guys. So yeah. You guys did have Amazon Prime at one point, didn't you?
So we used to. We don't have it anymore because geographically,
okay.
When you get that Hulu channel, it's based on them delivering things for free for you.
I see.
Not for free, but they don't charge
yeah,
any
the
shipping.
But right.
The fact of the matter is that geographically they do charge us, so we're like doesn't.
Okay,
you know,
I didn't consider that.
Sense for
yeah, I didn't consider that because you guys are on the island. I don't know if I talked very much about this on the podcast, but yeah, you guys have retired to Puerto Rico, our motherland, as I call it, living it up there with the nice weather and the
up in the mountains.
Yeah, up in the mountains. I love that spot you guys are at. I'm doing the same thing. I've got like a couple. Not a handful, but three or four streaming services. And sometimes when I'm like, well, I'm not using this streaming service that much. Like, is it worth holding on to? And then you're like, oh, well, it's only like $5.99. But, you know, but yes, I don't like, if I'm not using it, then I'm not, what's the point?
For sure.
So which shows? Obi-Wan, Star Trek Strange New Worlds. And then, okay, so this show I just picked up. And you got and I am sharing my HBO Max with you guys. This show you would like because me and Dad share our love for fantasy and sci-fi TV shows and movies,
right.
But you and I share our love for like real high quality drama and drama that's done really well.
Yes,
I'm watching. Okay, so I've raved to you about the show The Wire over the years. It's an HBO show. And probably the most diverse show, like it's a mostly like I'd say 80% African American show, and it's about the war on drugs back in the 2000s. That's The Wire in Baltimore, and
right.
Like I said, it's mostly African American, but. And I bring up the drug war, but it's not what I love about the show is that it's not black and like it's not black and white metaphorically or figuratively. It's black and white in the sense that the drug dealers and the people on the street, there's bad people, and then there's people caught up in it that aren't bad, and then the police department, there's corruption in it, but. But they're not all bad either. Like there's people struggling to try to like do the right thing, and they're just caught up in the system of the corruption in Baltimore. Okay, so that was The Wire, and in my opinion, and I've not watched every show ever made, but The Wire is the best written show I've ever watched. The writing in it is almost Shakespearean. But also relatable. Like we grew up on the East Coast, in a bad city. We got out of there, but so we kind of can relate to the urban kind of decay, you know? So this show, The Wire,
the breakdown of that.
Yeah. This show, The Wire, is so relatable in that sense that, the drug war and all of that stuff. There's corruption from all places, but there's also people trying to rise above it. So that was The Wire. And The Wire, I highly suggest it's all of it's on HBO Max seasons 1 through 5. And the show never got canceled. So it has a definitive ending, and the ending is so perfect. It just wraps up so beautifully.
Oh, wow.
So that's The Wire, and the reason I bring up The Wire is because the guy that created it, David Simon, has a new show on HBO Max, and it's a mini series. It's only 6 episodes, and it's called "We Own This City," and It's Baltimore, but it's more recent. It's like between 2015 and I guess 2020 or 2019 or something like that. So it's a short period of time, but it's more recent. And it's Baltimore mm-hmm. again. So when I saw that they were going to put out this show, I was excited about it because I love The Wire. And I was like, oh, I wonder if I'm going to be expecting the more of the same and it's not going to be that, or if it's going to be its own thing. It's both. It feels very much like The Wire because it is in Baltimore. But it also feels fresh because it's a different angle to it. This show, We Own the City, is more about the crazy police corruption in Baltimore. But then also there's one character that's caught up in it that's actually a good person in the police force. And so I guess that they're doing that to contrast, like, you know, like there are good people.
Right. Right.
And what that's like to then be noticed that you're surrounded by the people you think are on your side.
Right.
And then they're corrupt.
Right.
And then the being blindsided by that. I've only watched one episode. By the time I got to the end of the first episode of We Own the City, I was sold. I was like, oh, yes, this is going to be like, I'm back to where I was when I was watching The Wire. And yeah. That's on HBO Max. It's a drama, high quality drama. I put that out there because it's really good. Like, I'm not a Law and Order type of, I mean, I know you've watched a lot of Law and Order and shows like that, right?
Not much, but I have.
Oh, okay.
I watch a lot, like, the other one, what do you call it, with Marissa Haggerty.
Yeah. Let me see here. I think I confused. What is it?
It's Special Victims.
Oh, yes. So it's a Law and Order sideshow. Right. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And Blacklist.
Yeah. So you're more drama, but high.
Reality.
Yeah. Real. It's more based in the real world, and
right,
but really
right.
like high. Highly,
yeah.
The writing is the star of the show, essentially. Although
exactly.
You get great actors like James Spader in The Blacklist, which say that
I
again.
I will watch anything with James Spader.
Yeah, yeah, but I know you've watching Blacklist really cemented that for you.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
I will cancel everything just to make sure that. Yeah, that's
yeah.
one of my. Yeah.
So the star of We Own the City is John Bernthal. And John Bernthal, let's see. If you saw him, you'd recognize him. But it's hard for me to describe, like...
Oh, okay.
Let me see if I can find something that you've seen him in. Bernthal.
What's his name?
John Bernthal. JonBernthal. John Bernthal. He's been in a bunch of stuff. If you saw him, you'd recognize him. JonBer. Yeah. He,
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. So in the, in We Own the City, he comes off, at first you're like, oh, this is the bad guy. Cause he's very like, you know, when you see a Marine that's, you're like, oh, a jarhead, you're like, oh my God, this guy is like, so like the poster boy for toxic masculinity. But
yes.
then you realize, no, that's a surface thing. Like he's actually a
yeah.
good person. It's just that
right.
he's gung ho about his job. Like he
right.
probably wanted to be a cop since he was a kid. But then other bad cops give cops like that a bad name. So,
mm-hmm.
so the corrupt cops on this show, like, so at first when John Bernthal, you get introduced to his character, you're like, huh, I wonder what's this guy's story. But then you realize that he's the one surrounded by a bunch of corruption and then gets caught in the middle of it. So good. So I'll update people as I watch this show. Because, I mean, I can only speak on the first episode, but positively I can speak on it. So hopefully it's a miniseries. It's a miniseries, so it's not a huge commitment. It's only 6 episodes. They're all out now. I'm a little bit late to the game. I think the show premiered last month, and I'm just getting to it. But like I said, I'm going to watch the second episode this weekend, and then I'm sure I'll speak more about it. One of my co-hosts on the podcast watched all 6 episodes already, and he's a big fan of The Wire as well. So,
oh, wow. Very cool.
Yeah, so those are the 3 shows I'm watching. Again, I'll reiterate. It's We Own the City, Star Trek, Strange New Worlds, and Obi-Wan Kenobi, and I won't speak too much on Obi-Wan because we were doing dedicated episodes for that. Mom, I won't keep you very long because I was going to keep it short with this episode, but I'm going to go down my list of movies that I've watched with their grades. And before we started recording this morning when I talked to you, you asked me about the Top Gun movie. So, yes, it's incredible that it has the reviews it has. It has like a 97% on Rotten Tomatoes, which is crazy for an action movie. Tom Cruise, we've been fans of Tom Cruise for a while, despite his kind of nutty personal life.
Right.
I'm not going to judge his acting ability by what religion he, you know, like I'll judge his personal life based on his personal life, but I'm going to judge his acting based on his acting. And he's been a charming, dedicated actor, movie star, for as long as I can remember. And so it's exciting that he's making this movie. I've worked on fighter jets before when I was in the Air Force. I like going to movie theaters. For some reason, I haven't been able to muster any excitement for this movie. I think in the last couple of days, I kind of have, because I keep hearing people say you have to watch it on the biggest screen possible for the action, for the dogfighting of the jets and stuff. So that kind of got me excited, but it's already kind of, they're already taking them off the IMAX screens to make room for Jurassic World. So I've kind of missed my window there, but I'm okay to catch it whenever it comes out on HBO Max or whatever. It's not an indictment on the movie. Like, it looks, I'm sure I'll end up liking it, but I just couldn't get that, like, that level of excitement that makes me, like, say, oh, I have to go watch it. I absolutely have to. So, I'm totally happy for Tom Cruise and the entire team there that they not only have a critically successful movie and a sequel to a movie that came out in the 80s, also, it's made tons. I think he broke records for Memorial Day weekend. Also, he broke, like, I think it's his highest grossing weekend ever of any movie he's ever made. You know, for me, with Tom Cruise, the stuff I get excited for more is the Mission Impossible movies. Like, those to me are exciting.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think that any of those movies that Tom Cruise has been in, that they've been bad at all.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
You know, that they've all been amazing. The guy is great.
Yeah.
The guy is great at what he really is very, very good. So I love the Mission Impossible movies, but this movie, oh, man, I was watching a little bit of the trailers and a little bit, and it was just amazing.
It looks amazing, yeah.
Yeah. I've been reading a little bit about it. Still, a guy for his age, still refuses to have other people do the stunts. He's doing
the stunts. My theory is that he's going to end up dying doing what he loves. So he's going to, he's probably, we're going to hear that he died on a stunt at age 88 or some shit like that. Like, he's going to be jumping from one plane to the other, and then that something's going to, is going to be a freak accident. But good for him, because he's going to have a legacy, like, at least based on his movie career, he's going to have a legacy that's going to, he's like one of the last real movie stars. So, so good for him all around. I'll end up watching Top Gun eventually. But so let me go down this list real quick, and then we'll wrap up. So the movies I've watched so far, this has been a light year. So the movies I've watched in the theater so far this year were The Batman, which I gave a B. I enjoyed that one. And let me kind of like give context to my rating system here. So an A is a movie that becomes one of my favorites. So that's a high score. Those I don't hand those out very easily. A B is I liked but wasn't enamored. So that's mm-hmm. still pretty high. When I give a movie a C, I still think that's a recommendation, but it's an okay movie. It's something I don't regret watching. A D is starting to get into where I regret that I spent the time watching it. And then an F is like, who held a gun to my head to make me watch it? That's an F.
Yeah.
I've watched enough movies. I mean, I remember going to the theater on my own at 16. So I've watched enough movies to know how to avoid the Fs. Yes. Like, I can tell a bad movie from a mile away. So mm-hmm. I don't often watch really bad movies, only because I'm really careful of how I use my time. The Batman, I give a B. There's a movie called Everything, Everywhere, All at Once, which is it's a mostly Asian American movie, but it's a crazy sci-fi movie. It's sci-fi, but it's also a heartwarming family movie as well. It's crazy that they were able to get that balance. I gave that one a B. That one I really enjoyed. It's called Everything, Everywhere, All at Once. The Northmen, which I recommended to you and Dad. It's a Viking revenge movie. That's probably my favorite movie of the year so far. I gave
really?
That was the first. That's the first and only A I've given out this year for the for the Northmen. I watched the what do you call it? What's the actor? Nicolas Cage movie, The Unbearable Weight of Massive Talent. I watched that in the theater. I enjoyed that. I gave it a C+. But I recommend people check that one out. And then Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness, which is the second Doctor Strange movie, the Marvel MCU movie. I gave that a B-. I really enjoyed that. I saw that in the theater twice. I think Doctor Strange and The Northman are the only two that I've watched twice. And I think that's all I've watched. Yeah, that's all I've watched in the theater so far. For the rest of the year, the reviews for Jurassic World just came in, and they're pretty atrocious, which is disappointing because I was wanting to watch that, but I'll have to wait and see. Jurassic World Domination is mm-hmm. called. I'll wait and see on that one. Thor: Love and Thunder comes out in July. That one I'm definitely gonna go watch. The trailers look great. Bullet Train is a movie that I think you'd be interested in, Mom. It's Brad Pitt, and he's it kind of reminds me of the movie Snatch a little bit, where it's kind of like it's kind of like an action kind of over the top comedy action movie. It's called Bullet Train, and like we were praising Tom Cruise, I'm a bigger Brad Pitt fan than I am a Tom Cruise fan. I love Brad Pitt. He's great. You know, it reminds me of one of his recent roles that we both enjoyed was him in the Tarantino movie, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. Brad Pitt just played the coolest dude ever in that movie, and he pulls it off. So this Bullet Train movie, it's him. He has to take a job. I don't know if he's a criminal, but like I don't think he's a full-on assassin, but maybe he is. The trailer's him going to Japan trying to retrieve a case, and then he gets caught up in the mix with a bunch of like criminal people that are after the same case, the same suitcase. It looks like a lot of fun. So that one I'm excited for. It comes out in July. It's called Bullet Train. It's not the train.
Bullet Train?
Yeah, Bullet Train. It's not the train you're hearing right now on the recording. I live right next to a train track.
Perfect
time. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Okay, so then to round out the year, there's another Spider-Man animated movie coming out at the end of the year that I'm looking forward to. It's called Across the Spider-Verse. Black Panther 2 is supposed to come out. Unfortunately, the main actor passed away, but they're still putting out a movie. I haven't seen any trailers for it, so it's kind of weird that they still have it for this year and they haven't really talked too much about it. That one's called Black Panther Wakanda Forever. So hopefully that works out. And then finally, James Cameron is releasing his second Avatar movie at the end of the year. So hopefully that looks, it definitely looks good, but it's hopefully the story's good on that. And that rounds out my list of movies that I plan on.
What are your thoughts on Wakanda Forever?
That's the thing is, we watched that. I even took you and Dad, to go watch that. I watched
loved
that
it,
movie. Yeah, I loved it too. Even that, I think when I took you and Dad to watch it, it was probably my second or third time watching it in the theater. And I was excited even then to watch it again in the theater, like after I'd already watched it. Chadwick Boseman, amazing actor.
Mm-hmm.
So captivating on screen. And then off screen, what a great example for just not African Americans, but just for everybody. Just the way he led his life and kept his composure to the very end. That he was living with cancer those final years and no one knew about it, probably aside from his family. That's kind of like, it's very inspiring. I think it's good that they're moving forward with a movie, with a Black Panther movie, because that franchise and that character is important to the MCU and to fans everywhere. So I'm glad they're moving forward with it, but it just kind of worries me that I hope they're not just pushing this one out. I hope it's quality. I hope it's quality.
Just because.
I feel the same way with the Wonder Woman movie, and because you're just like me. The getting caught up in identity politics is just dumb. I wish we could just all move on and just treat everybody equally. But I also can see the side of like it's important that the Wonder Woman movie was good. It's important that the first Black Panther movie was good, just to because it would have been a shame if they were bad and we have to just like, I don't know, kind of trot it out as like, well, you know, just, I'm glad we didn't have to apologize for it. In the sense that, well, this is what we got. I'm glad that we can actually say, no, those were good movies and they did good for feminism and for, African Americans, but like I said before with Chadwick Boseman, like he wasn't just something for young black children to look up to. He was an example for all children growing up and adults. And so that's what I like, and that's why I think it's important that those movies do well, and that they actually were critically like praised and were genuinely good movies. I didn't want it to be just like mediocre and then people just kind of like gave it more credit than it was due. I think the credit was deserved. I think that's what I'm happy that movies like that do well. We'll have to wait and see on Black Panther. My theory is that they'll probably move it back a year or something just so they can work on it a little bit more. Just because they were in a tight spot. Like, they were, you know, between movies when the actor died. So they had to scramble. There had to have been some scrambling to fix the script and to figure out how they're going to write him out of the, you know. So.
Right. Well, look at Ray Liotta right now filming that movie.
So they have to kind of like just pivot, you know. So sometimes they make it work and sometimes it just, you know, it's a fact of life that you just have to kind of just move on, I guess. Speaking of moving on, I think that's it for us, Mom. Again, this was great. And I look forward to having you on again, because this one, I got the same feeling I did when we recorded the last time. I enjoyed it, and I think it was good content for our listeners. So, looking forward on Mind Grenade, we're going to have more Obi-Wan Kenobi coverage on the next couple episodes. I have a guest lined up for the next episode, but then I also, the guys on the podcast, Jason, Ian, and Matt, have really been enjoying Obi-Wan Kenobi, so I look forward to their thoughts on that show. Yeah, so this is it. Mom, thanks again, Eva.
Thank you for having me. And yeah. Maybe the next time we both have watched Tom Cruise's new movie.
Yes.
And maybe we can talk about it.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, we'll make that happen. Yeah. So this has been. Say that again, Mom.
I said I'm excited about that.
Yeah, yeah. Same as well. I'm more excited actually to talk to you about it. So I look forward to that. So this has been. Let's see. You know, I'll do a little bit of networking here. You can find all things Mind Grenade on mindgrenadestudios.com. I'll have that written out in the show notes, so it's easy to find. But I have a feed of the podcast there. I have some artwork up there. I'm finishing up some artwork that I got commissioned. I'm super excited for that. In a couple days, I'll be handing over some artwork. Say that again.
I can't wait to
show it to everybody, and really excited about that. So, mindgrenadestudios.com. I have all my artwork there. So check that out. And so thanks for listening. Thanks for subscribing. This has been Hector and Eva saying so long, and we'll talk to you soon.
He was a big wave surfer, living down by Waimea Bay. We had a few friends, never thought.
Some roses.